CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. I welcome John Bolton, former National Security Advisor, Trump Administration, former Ambassador to the United Nations for the Bush Administration, to comment on a Washington Examiner piece he publishes, and then also a Wall Street Journal review he publishes about Iran's suspect nuclear weapons program, Iran the predator state, the Islamic Republic of Iran's predation these last decades, now culminating in the election of a man once known as the hanging judge, now called the president of Iran, Ebrahim Raisi, a cleric. John, the puzzle here is the supreme leader made this choice. There were dropouts the last week when it was obvious even to the seven candidates left that Raisi was the man who was going to lead Iran. How does this help the supreme leader? What is the message from a very aged man, a cleric, who knows that he doesn't have much of the future to live? Why is he giving us a man who is soaked in massacre? Good evening to you, John.
Well, good evening. I think that through long association, the Ayatollah Khamenei knows that Raisi is still a man of the 1979 revolution. They went to extraordinary lengths at this election to make sure there were no mistakes about who was going to be elected, carefully limiting the field of candidates, and I'm sure fixing the results in a style that only Mayor Daley of Chicago could probably emulate. They were determined to make sure that Raisi was elected. Very low turnout by their own admission, I think showing people knew the election was a done deal. There wasn't any purpose in going out. And I think the what they may have in mind here is an orderly succession. A lot of speculation that Raisi will be the third supreme leader of the 1979 revolution. And as you say, Khamenei may be seeing his the end of his regime coming sooner than he might want. So he wants in place as his number two. And that's what the president of Iran is, not number one, number two to the supreme leader. Remember that name. It has a ring to it. So that if Khamenei does die or becomes incapacitated, Raisi can smoothly move up and there will be continuity.
Before, however, the supreme leader chose Rouhani, who was presented as a moderate, and that led to the cascade of events that was the JCPOA of 2015. So that was a success. The puzzle here is I'm not sure that Rouhani is a moderate, but certainly he's a profoundly different actor than Ebrahim, who only looks like he's bloodthirsty. So does this mean the supreme leader thinks the JCPOA reawakening is not possible, that he's abandoned the pursuit in Vienna?
Well, I think the Iranians want relief from the economic sanctions. I don't think there's any question about that at all. And if he thought that having the U.S. reenter the JCPOA to bring relief from all of the sanctions, not just the ones based on nuclear misbehavior, but the ones regarding Iranian terrorism as well, he still wants that. What he doesn't know is whether even Joe Biden, desperate to get back in the deal, even Biden may not be willing to make enough concessions here. And remember, Rouhani was the nuclear negotiator for Iran during the George W. Bush administration. He openly talked about deceiving the Europeans by dragging out negotiations while critical nuclear facilities were being built. Among the leadership of the Islamic Revolution, there are no moderates. There are hardline hardliners and mere hardliners. But that's the spectrum. And I think Khamenei may have picked Rouhani, may have thought as a former negotiator he could count on him. But I think he's very worried about the direction Rouhani has taken. And my guess is he doesn't think he's made that mistake with Raisi.
Does this mean that John Kerry, the Secretary of State, who was very, very careful in proceeding in the original JCPOA with his corresponding authority, Javad Zarif, the foreign minister of Iran, does this mean that the supreme leader is elbowing both Zarif and Kerry aside and presenting only the hardliner's hardliner for Mr. Biden?
Well, here's the key point. There is no evidence whatever that Iran has made a strategic decision to give up nuclear weapons. In fact, I think the evidence is all to the contrary. And in the Albright book that you mentioned that I reviewed today in the Wall Street Journal, I think it's clear that from the get-go, Iran has wanted nuclear weapons under the revolution and continues to do so. So the idea of allowing the U.S. back into the 2015 nuclear deal is for one purpose from Iran's point of view, and that's to have the United States lift its sanctions. Iran, much like North Korea, is happy to promise giving up its nuclear weapons program. They just never seem to get around to it. And so it would be a big plus for the regime and for the people of Iran while we're at it to get relief from the sanctions. But I don't think there's the slightest chance that Khamenei or Raisi has any intention of giving up the pursuit of nuclear weapons. In fact, I think they're more likely to accelerate them now.
John Bolton points to the book Iran's Perilous Pursuit of Nuclear Weapons by David Albright with Sarah Burkhardt and the ISIS team at This is the Institute for Science and International Security, the good ISIS, where Mr. Albright is the president. John, the remark by Ebrahim right after he was named the president-elect of Iran was, "I don't want to meet Joe Biden. There's no negotiation on ballistic missile programs and proliferation. There's no negotiation on our regional conflicts. That would be Yemen, Syria, and everywhere else in the Gulf." Now, that tells me that there's more than the nuclear weapons program at issue, that Ibrahim was sent out there to say we're maintaining the attack. Is that important to the Biden administration, that the attack goes on whether or not the Vienna negotiation is successful?
Well, it certainly should be, because our friends and neighbors in the Middle East, Israel, the Gulf Arab states, and others, not only fear Iran's nuclear program, they fear its ballistic missile program, they fear its support for terrorism, they fear its conventional military activities in countries like Iraq and Syria. And notwithstanding the correct and long-delayed decision to take out Qasem Soleimani, the head of the Quds Force, the Revolutionary Guards Foreign Expeditionary Force, the Iranian regime has not been slowed down in its multiple policy objectives. And if the Biden administration wanted a chance to wake up and see what was actually happening, this is it. I have no illusions. I do not think they'll take it. I think Biden's still determined to go back into the deal. The one advantage, I think, for the West as a whole of Raisi, much like his predecessor to back, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, he is kind of the scowling face of the Islamic revolution in Iran, unlike Rouhani and Javad Zarif, the smiling face that Westerners could say, they probably enjoy a good scotch behind the rocks, on the rocks, behind the scenes. These guys are extremists. They are part of the revolution. They don't make any pretense about it. And you can wish away that reality. You can hope against hope that they really are moderates. But if that's where Biden is, he will be deceived. It's only a matter of time.
We have a couple of minutes, John. Our European allies, Berlin, Paris, and London, are they disappointed in Raisi's election?
Well, again, I think it's hard for them now to maintain the pretense that that there's any real indication that that Iran will abide by the commitments that it makes. You know, they have taken advantage of the Europeans time and time again. The Europeans and then the United States and the Obama administration made a critical concession to Iran. It really dwarfs most of the rest of the terms of the deal to allow Iran to have any uranium enrichment capability whatever. That's the biggest hole here, and there's no indication they plan to try and fix that. So I think, again, the Europeans will be pressing Biden to continue to make concessions. They want the U.S. back in the deal. But this is a dangerous path that all of us are on, again, to think that reentering this deal will really constrain Iran's pursuit of deliverable nuclear weapons.
Again, the book is Iran's Perilous Pursuit of Nuclear Weapons. David Albright with Sarah Burkhardt. I look forward to reading it. The review by John Bolton is in the Wall Street Journal in these last hours. Mr. Bolton's also writing about the election of Raisi in the Washington Examiner. John Bolton, former ambassador to the United Nations for the Bush administration for the United States of America and former national security advisor for the United States of America. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.